As we recently talked about here on the show, the safety for your child at their school is, well, a hope rather than a guarantee. I recall two districts in New Jersey recently dismissed two education association heads who were revealed to be protecting abusive teachers. My next guest is a filmmaker who has placed a focus on her hometown school graduating class, where 6 of 49 boys committed suicide. Her discovery of the reason for this and the silence that reason had been embraced with for decades as revealed in her documentary, What Haunts Us, which is in theaters and will premiere on Stars on May 14th. And she is the director of What Haunts Us, Paige Goldberg-Tolmach. Thanks for being here today, Paige.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
And the website, learn more about this important project, because as, like I said, we talked about last week, and I fear we'll be talking about often with what's being revealed now, whathauntsusfilm.com. This film revolves around an individual. I'm not going to call him a man, because it was far from being that. Eddie Fisher. Who was Eddie Fisher publicly?
Well, Eddie Fisher was my teacher. He was our trainer for the football team at my school in Charleston, Portergaud School, Charleston, South Carolina, in the 80s. He was a very, you know, he is what most of these people are. They are charismatic, charming, dynamic. He was a handsome man. We were drawn to him. The parents were drawn to him. And if he was someone who decided he liked you and he liked most of the boys and maybe a couple of girls here and there, you felt really special. I mean, you were definitely in the Eddie Fisher Club if he decided, and it was what you thought it was a pretty great place to be.
Which he was able to carry this image for quite a long time, because the Eddie Fisher Clubhouse was really a dungeon.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there was so much inappropriate behavior going on. The fact that no one did anything about it for all of those years is disgusting. I mean, you know, kids over at his house all the time, giving them drugs and alcohol and, you know, getting them out of speeding tickets in school. I mean, he would show up at school with a kid in his car in the morning. He would be walking up and down the beach in the summers with a flock of boys with him. It was just, it just looked funny. You know, it just looked like, it just wasn't right. But none of us, especially kids, could really put our finger on what that meant. You know, we were kids. Kids don't understand this stuff, but grown-ups do. And grown-ups are charged with protecting children. And they didn't. In that case, they didn't. And, you know, when you look at these stories all across the globe, you know, every day, just like you mentioned, grown-ups are continuing to fail in that charge. They're not protecting kids.
Was Fisher connected with the big names in town? Did he have anyone running cover for him?
Well, I mean, I think there were a lot of people that were charmed by Eddie Fisher. You know, there were, you know, if he was someone who could call up the judge and say, you know, get this kid off, you know, a speeding ticket or take care of this, take care of that. I mean, I think the town was kind of charmed by him. But, you know, when you realize how much people knew, the school administrators, what they knew and what they failed to do when they knew it, that's, you know, that's criminal.
And it's certainly the story that you tell and what haunts us is important about the acts and the clandestine way that an abuser like Fisher operates. But I think above and beyond that is you were able to get some of the survivors to talk, which had to be the second most challenging thing in their lives. The first was to survive the horror that this walking devil perpetrated on them. And there was a line from your film, too. They were dying to tell, but afraid someone would find out. That's just really sums up the mindset of what those individuals were living with all this time.
It's true. You know, people say all the time, you hear when you hear these cases, people are like, well, why didn't someone say anything? You know, why didn't they tell? In fact, when I started making the film, I said that to Gary, who's my main survivor in my film. It's a line from that Gary had said once, actually, that great line. But I said, Gary, tell me, you know, when you're in your home and you're 9 years old and the coach is at your house and he goes into your room and something like that happens, why didn't you just go downstairs and tell your parents? And he looked at me and he said, Paige, I didn't have the words. And it's like, oh, right. They were little people. No one had ever talked to us about this stuff. So he didn't know what had happened to him, and he kept it inside for years and years and years because he was terribly ashamed. He didn't understand what had happened. Yet he was crying for help in every way that he could, yet, like you just said, yet terrified that someone was going to find out his secret, because he firmly thought that he was to blame for what Eddie Fisher had done to him.
Or Paige Goldberg-Tolmach, who is the director of What Haunts Us, in film in theaters now. It will be on Starz starting on May 14th. WhatHauntsUsFilm.com is the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And in addition, for the survivors or those, his victims, if they came forward at the here and now and told what happened, well, Mr. Fisher would never do that.
Well, that's what they were told. I mean, and by the way, that's what happens everywhere. I mean, while making this documentary, I just, you know, I would talk to hundreds of people. Even when I just started working on the project, you know, I would go meet with editors or music supervisors, you know, anybody, just people you start, you know, you're going to hire to work on your film. And every single person had a story. Everyone, they were like, let me tell you something. I've never told anyone, but this happened to me, or this happened to my mom, or this happened to my child, or, you know, we had this creepy teacher in school. I mean, everyone has a story. And it's usually the instinct of the school initially to dismiss it. And because people, you know, it's just shocking. I mean, why do people feel like the institution is more valued than the individual? I just, as a mother, I couldn't figure that one out. I still find it shocking. So, you know, I'm certainly not going to do that. I'm going to do everything in my power to be the squeaky wheel and to stand up and speak when, you know, if other people can't.
Well, I think every parent has to. I always say in several cases like this, and also with domestic violence, it's better to be wrong because you can always apologize. Staying silent, it's tough to apologize when you're standing over someone's coffin.
It's really, really, really true. I mean, you know, if you stand up and do what you think is the right thing, you have so much to gain from that. But if you don't, there's so much more there's so much more to lose.
Do you think the survivors telling their stories and sharing their emotion and their pain in your film, What Haunts Us, do you think that's going to be akin to the hashtag MeToo movement for abuse against women, that abuse survivors in this realm will see this and say, well, it just wasn't me. There are others. And that'll give them the courage to speak up.
Well, I certainly hope so. You know, it's interesting. I was on a talk show that's going to air today. It's really interesting, yesterday. And a bunch of, you know, celebrity women at the table with me, amazing, dynamic, extraordinary women. As we're on air, one of them disclosed that it happened to her.
Wow.
And I just got tears in my eyes, and I thought, you're so brave, and you doing this on national television, that saves lives, because people out there know they're not alone. There's so many people who have gone through this, and there's so many people out there who want to talk about it, because it's the only way that the ghosts and the demons start to vanish, is having the conversation and knowing that it's not their fault, and that that you can thrive. You can thrive and survive this.
You know, it was educational as well as horrifying at the same time was how Fisher talked about his actions and his crimes in those police interview videos. It was, yeah, he was almost dismissive of everything.
Oh my God, it's very disturbing to see that, isn't it? Well, that's when you realize, okay, he was sick. But as Gary Glover says in the film, he has a line that says, to this very day, he believes that what Porter Gowd did to him so much worse than what Eddie Fisher did. Because Porter Gowd, they weren't sick. They knew what was happening.
Yeah.
They should have stopped it, but they just looked the other way.
Yeah, this story
allowed it to continue.
Yeah, this story, what we talked about here last week and several times before, this isn't just the wake-up call for the parents and families. It's the wake-up call for the school administrators. You're not in charge. You're in a seat of responsibility. And you have to obey that, the tenets of that seat, to protect those who you are charged with protecting, care for those who you're responsible for caring, and understand that when something happens that's going wrong, it's not CYA, it's get up and do something to stop that from happening. And
right.
There's way too many. This all reminded me, I actually had Jerry Sandusky on the show before everything broke out, and all the stories were coming out, and one of the stories, they had a still frame of a book he wrote, and I'm looking at it, and I go, damn, that looks familiar. I checked my notes. I went back and the show logs, and I had the SOB on. And I went back to listen to the tape, and he was, and by the way, sickingly, his book was named Touched, as an aside. But
wow. Oh, my God.
You listened to that interview from, I think it was 2002, and put it into reference of what we knew about him a few years after that. They give clues if you just understand and take into heart what the child would tell you, or in that case, what the student would be telling you. And they're not perfect in hiding their reality, but you have to be honest enough to look at these people for what they are. And even if there's a hint of suspicion, listen, watch, question, inquire, put them off to the side until everything is absolutely positively sure and safe for the children, because that's the priority, not a job, not a title, not a plaque on the wall or anything like that. These people are there for the children, to protect right. them, not to hurt them. And I think that's a lesson that What Haunts Us is going to bring out to everyone who sees it, either in the theaters. It starts on Stars on May 14th. WhatHauntsUsFilm.com is the website and page. This is not a documentary. This is going to be a message and a mandate that I hope everyone is going to adhere to at all levels, all facets of the school system. Thanks for doing that, for being here today.
Well, thank you so much for having me and helping to shine a light on this issue. It's so important. Thank you.